Okay, this is the debate between the Pharisees and Sadducees regarding the date of Shavuot by Ari Mermolstein. Okay, let's get started. Everybody has a source sheet, right? Okay, what I'd like to do is, I think we're going to start by reading the two Mishnayot, which are sources 1 and 2 on the source sheet. So this will lay the groundwork for everything else that we're going to talk about. Essentially, what I want to talk about is two aspects of the famous debate between the Pharisees and the Sadducees concerning the date of Shavuot, which is what we're going to read about in the first two Mishnayot. One question is going to be, what exactly is the basis for this machloket? So we'll see that the Mishnah outlines this debate without really giving us any sense of where it comes from, how this debate fits within the context of the psukim and the Torah. So that's going to be one aspect of our discussion. How exactly is the debate between the Pharisees and Sadducees as outlined in the Mishnah, how does that relate to the psukim and the Torah? That's going to be one part of our discussion. Second part of our discussion is going to be to examine other sources outside of the Mishnah, outside of Chazal, that are in some way related to the Pharisees and Sadducees, and that shed light on some of the uncertainties. Okay, we're going to see that in addition to the Mishnah, we don't have any Sadducean texts that would give us a window into the thought process here, but we will see other texts, some Dead Sea Scrolls, some earlier texts that I think will shed light on some of the uncertainties on the debate between the Pharisees and Sadducees. Okay, very good. Let's get started. The Mishnah and Menachot. So I think what we'll do is, because I have the English here, I think what we'll do is I'll read the Hebrew. Feel free to follow along in the English as we go along. Okay, the subject of this Mishnah is actually not Shavuot. Subject of this Mishnah is when exactly the Omer is brought. Obviously, the two are going to be connected. The Omer is going to be brought 7 weeks before Shavuot takes place. Menachot is going to deal with that earlier date. Ketzad hayu osim, shluchei beit. Ketzad hayu osim. What was the process by which the Omer was first cut and then brought? Shluchei beitin yotzi me'erev yom tov, ve'osim oto krichot b'mechubar lakarka. So already on Erev Yontif, right before Pesach, Shluchei Beitin would go out and would make them into bundles so that everything would be easy to cut when it actually came time to do so. Kedei she'yeh noach liktzor. V'chol ha'ayarot hasmuchot l'sham, mitkansot l'sham kedei she'yeh niktzar be'isah gadol. They made a big deal about it. So any of the neighboring towns would come to the fields where they were going to cut the Omer to make a celebration out of it. And we'll see the closing line in the Mishnah will explain why it was that this was such an important event. Kevan shechashecha omer lahem bahashemesh omrim hein. Bahashemesh omrim hein. We're going to see that the people who were involved in cutting the Omer would ask a question, and the crowd that had gathered would respond hein, would respond yes. So the first question is bahashemesh, as has nightfall already taking place. This is already now on the 16th. Okay, so what we were looking at previously was Erev Yom Tov. Now we're talking about what is going to happen on the night after the first day of Pesach.
That it has to be done in?
Correct.
After the 15th is over.
Correct, right. Magal zo omrim hein. Magal zo omrim hein. Should we do it with this sickle? And they say yes. Should we do it with this sickle? And again, the answer is yes. Kupazo omrim hein. Kupazo omrim hein. Into this basket, and the crowd says yes. Into this basket, and again, the crowd says yes. Bishabbat omer lahem. Shabbat zo omrim hein. Shabbat zo omrim hein. So again, is it Shabbos? They say yes. Is it Shabbos? They say yes. Ektzor v'heim omrim lo ketzor. Ektzor v'heim omrim lo ketzor. So this is the one instance in which a question is asked and the answer is not hein. He says, should I reap? They say yes. Should I reap? And they say yes. Shlosha pa'amim al kol davar v'davar v'heim omrim lo hein hein hein. So three times for each of these questions and the response was hein hein hein. Why do they make such a big deal about this process? Kol kach lama mipnei habaitusim. This was in response to apparently what was a position adopted by the Baitusim. The question is, what exactly is the connection between the Baitusim and the Tzedukim? Generally, when we associate the machloket between the Pharisees and their opponents in connection with Shavuot, we typically think of the Tzedukim. The Mishnah only identifies the Baitusim as the proponents of this position. For our purposes, we'll assume that the Beit Tzuchim and the Tzedukim are essentially identical. It might be that the Tzedukim was a sort of umbrella group and the Beit Tzuchim may have been sort of a subgroup. There's no indication that the Beit Tzuchim and the Tzedukim disagreed on this particular issue. Okay, so we'll talk about them as the Tzedukim. Some of the other sources that we're not going to look at actually identify the Tzedukim here as the adversaries. In any case, what they're doing is, all of this is meant to publicize the difference between the Pharisaic and the Sadducean position. Because the Pharisees are undertaking this process on Motzei Yom Tov, on the 16th, whereas the Sadducees, we'll see, would only do so on Sunday. So their Tzirat HaOmer would only take place on Sunday. When it came to that first, that's the 16th day, what we'll see is Mimacharat HaShabbat, the Pharisees would publicize the difference by making a very public celebration out of it. Okay, that's the Mishnah as it concerns Ketzirat HaOmer.
When they start reaping or harvesting the Omer, that begins the count towards Shavuot, is the idea.
Correct. Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, the Mishnah in Chagiga takes up more directly the date of Shavuot. Okay, Atzeret Shechal Liyot Be'erev Shabbat, Beit Shammai Omrim Yom Tevoach Achar HaShabbat, Ubeit Hillel Omrim Ein Yom Tevoach Achar HaShabbat. So here the question is, when you can slaughter the Olot Re'iyah that are brought on Shavuot. So Beit Shammai typically says, you can't bring the Olot Re'iyah on Yom Tov. Beit Hillel says, you can bring the Olot Re'iyah on Yom Tov. And so therefore, when the first day of Yom Tov falls out on a weekday, any day other than Shabbos, according to Beit Shammai, you have to shech the Olot Re'iyah before Yom Tov. When Shavuot falls out on a Friday, according to Beit Shammai, the day on which you slaughter the Olot Re'iyah is going to be on Sunday, since according to Beit Shammai, you don't bring an Olot Re'iyah on Yom Tov, on Friday, and you also don't bring it on Shabbos. Therefore, according to Beit Shammai, you are the Yom Tevoach, the day on which you shech these things is on Sunday. Beit Hillel Omrim Ein Yom Tevoach Achar HaShabbat. Beit Hillel says that you can have the Yom Tevoach, the date on which you shecht the Olot Re'iyah on Friday itself, because Beit Hillel says that you can bring the Olot Re'iyah on Yom Tov. Okay, that's a side debate, that's not our focus. Umodim she'imchal liyot b'shabbat, she'yom tvoach achar ha-shabbat. Even Beit Hillel says that the Olot Re'iyah is not Docha Shabbos, and therefore, if Shavuot falls out on Shabbos, then the Yom Tevoach, the day on which you slaughter the Olot Re'iyah, will take place on Sunday. This is going to be the critical line for our purposes. V'ein kohen gadol mitlabesh b'cheilav, umutarin behesped uvetaanit, shelo l'kayem divrei ha'omrim atzeret achar ha'shabbat. When Shavuot falls out on Shabbos, and according to everybody, the Yom Tevoach is on Sunday, so the Olot Re'iyah are slaughtered on Sunday. In that circumstance, that Sunday is Mutar Behesped Uvetanis. So normally, the Yom Tevoach, the day on which the Olot Re'iyah is shechted, is going to be a sort of quasi-Yom Tov. So there's not going to be Hesped and Tanis. In this particular instance, where the Yom Tevoach falls out on a Sunday, according to the Mishnah, there is no Isur of Hesped and Tanis, Shelo L'Kayem Divrei HaOmrim Atzeret Achar HaShabbat. Because there were those who said that on that day, on that Sunday, there are those who say that is the day of Shavuot. Meaning, when Shavuot falls out on Shabbos, and the Yom Tevoach is on Sunday, the Pharisees are observing Shavuot on Shabbos, but there's another group of people that are observing Shavuot on Sunday. And so in order to make clear that the Pharisees are not observing Shavuot on Sunday, they are Matir, Hesped, and Tanis on that day in order to distance themselves from those who are actually observing Shavuot on that day. Okay, is that clear what the Mishnah is about? Now, the Mishnah doesn't identify who these Omrin are, but when we put these two Mishnayot together, it stands to reason that those who say Atzeret is Achar HaShabbat are the Beit Tzuchim. The same people who would say that Ein Ketzirat HaOmer Elab Ein Ketzirat HaOmer Motzei Yom Tov, namely that Ketzirat HaOmer takes place on Sunday, will likewise hold that Atzeret, that Shavuot is celebrated on Shabbos. So we put these two together, we have a consistent position of the Beit Tzuchim, of the Tzedukim. Ketzirat HaOmer takes place after Shabbos on Sunday. Shavuot takes place on Saturday night and Sunday. Pharisees will say Shavuot, Tzirat HaOmer can take place on any day of the week. Okay? Okay. We're not told in either of these Mishnayot what the basis for this machloket is. Why did the Pharisees say what they say? Why did the Sadducees say what they say? Okay, so let's take a look at the psukim in the Torah that concern the bringing of the Omer on Shavuot to gain a little greater insight into the basis of this machloket. Okay, so turn to page 2. Okay, so the relevant passages for our purposes are the passage about the Chagim in Emor and the passage about the Chagim in Parshat Re'eh. Okay, so passage about the Chagim in Emor. Let's take a look at Psukim Yud Aleph, Yud Daled, Tet Vav, and Tet Zayin. Okay? Yud Aleph, Vehinif et HaOmer, Lifnei Hashem, Lirtzon Chem, Mimacharat HaShabbat, Yinifenu HaKoin. When is it that you come and you wave the Omer? You wave the Omer according to the Torah, Mimacharat HaShabbat. Okay? Doesn't explicitly say what that means. Pshat in Mimacharat HaShabbat would apparently be that on Sunday. So, Shabbat, Shabbos. On Sunday, you're supposed to come and wave the Omer. Tet Vav, again, continues in a sort of similar schedule. Usfartem lachem imacharat ha-shabbat, miyom haviyachem et omer ha-tznufa, sheva shabbatot mimotiyena. So on the macharat ha-shabbat, namely the day on which you are bringing the omer, you begin counting sheva shabbatot mimot, seven complete shabbatot. And we'll look in the next source and think about what exactly that means, Shabbatot Tmimot. Ad mimacharat ha-shabbat ha-shvi'i tisperu chamishim yom v'hikraftem mincha chadasha l'Hashem. Again, until macharat ha-shabbat that falls out 50 days later, 7 full weeks later, you are going to count leading up to that point. So that the day on which you bring the Omer, mimacharat Shabbat, is going to fall out on the same day of the week as the terminal point, namely this chag that will take place 7 weeks later. Okay. So here, the starting point is Mimacharat HaShabbat, and what you're counting are Shabbatot Tmimot. Take a look at the next source on the next page in Re'eh. Shiva Shavuot Tispor Lach, Mehachel Charmesh Bakama, Tachel Lispor Shiva Shavuot. So here, we can talk about two differences between what we just saw in Emor and what we're seeing now in Re'eh. So in Emor, we saw that the count begins Mimacharat HaShabbat. In Re'eh, the count begins Mehachel Chermesh Bakama, when the sickle is first put to the standing grain. So that's one distinction between the two sources. The other distinction between the two sources is how the units of time are described. So in Emor, the units of time were described as Shabbatot Tmimot. In Re'eh, the units of time are described as Shavuot. Is there a difference between Shabbatot and Shavuot? Yeah, and Shavuot, yeah.
When it says Mimacharat HaShabbat, usually, would Pshat be that's referring to as something that was already spoken about? In other words, does the fact that no particular Shabbat was mentioned, could that be where Chazal might be someplace where Chazal got it from? Because HaShabbat, tell me this in terms of Pshat, the one that we already spoke about.
Right, so it's interesting that what precedes, so I only excerpted the passage beginning with Pesach, but the part before Pesach is about Shabbos. Right, so the question is, so you have two options. There's no reference to Shabbaton in connection with Pesach in this passage. There's Shabbat, the later Chagim all have references to Shabbat or Shabbaton or Shabbat Shabbaton. Pesach is the only holiday in this passage that does not have Shabbaton attached to it. So if you wanted to say the Macharat Shabbat, the Shabbat goes back to something earlier, in this passage you'd probably go back to Saturday, Shabbat, which is the opening of the passage. But we're going to come back to where Chazal get that from in a little bit. Okay, so let's look at the Midrash Tanaim in order to make sense of how these two passages from Devarim and Vayikra fit together. Midrash Tanaim is a Tanaitic Midrash that was sort of reconstructed in the 20th century by Rav David Tzvi Hoffman. Rav David Tzvi Hoffman basically took what was, this is 30 seconds, took what was a Yemenite Midrashic collection called Midrash HaGadol, and he suggested that embedded in the Midrash HaGadol is a lost collection of the Mechilta to Sefer Dvarim. So we know that there are two Mechiltas to Sefer Shmot. We only have one work of Midrash Halacha and Dvarim. There are two works of Midrash Halacha on Shmot. There are two works of Midrash Halakha on Bamidbar, only one on Vayikra and only one on Dvarim. The only work of Midrash Halakha on Dvarim is the Sifrei. Rav David Tzvi Hoffman posited that there is a second lost work of Midrash Halakha called the Mechilta on Dvarim. He tried to demonstrate that some of the sources embedded in this Midrash HaGadol actually go back to the lost Mechilta on Dvarim. That's what we mean by the Midrash Tanaim. So that for our purposes, Midrash Tanaim is basically contemporaneous with the Mishnayot that we already saw. Okay, a Tanaitic work of Midrash. Midrash Tanaim says as follows. Katu vechad omer, shivash shavuot tisbor lach, that's in Re'eh, v'katu vechad omer, usfartem lachem, that's in Emor. How can both of those psukim be maintained? What exactly is the question in the Midrash? So Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, who edited that work of Midrash, writes as follows. Kasheh, this is continuing on, Kasheh, Tichan Ketiv Shiva Shavuot, in Re'eh, it says Shiva Shavuot, Mashma Diyatchil HaShavua Be'eze Yom She'yirtzeh. That implies that the count begins on whatever day the hachel charmish vakama, whenever the sickle has now gone into the standing grain, that can take place on any day. Ubeparshat emor k'tiv sheva shabbatot mashma dehashavua yatchil biyom echad v'yisayim b'shabbat dehachi mashma lishon shabbatot. So according to Rav David Tzvi Hoffman's understanding of that midrash, what the midrash means is that we have an apparent sira between emor and re'eh. When Emor says that you count Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot, what that means is the count begins on a Sunday and terminates on Shabbat. So it's Shabbatot because it's a full week that ends with a Shabbat. It runs from the beginning of the week through Shabbat, and therefore it's called a Shabbat. But a Shavua, as understood by Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, is a week that does not terminate with Shabbat. Any week that begins on a Tuesday and ends on a Monday is called a Shavua. And so therefore, according to David Tzvi Hoffman, what the Midrash is asking is, how do we put those two parshiot together? When exactly is the Omer cut and Shavuot takes place? Does it start Mimocharat HaShabbat on Sunday and end on Shabbat in Emor? Or does it start on any day of the week and therefore conclude on any day of the week? Okay, that's the question that bothers the Midrash. We can plug in each of the two positions that we talked about, the Sadducean and the Pharisaic positions, into each one of those possibilities. So, the Pharisaic position, which says that Ktzirat HaOmer and Shavuot can take place on any day of the week, fits better with the Psukim in Re'eh, namely Shiva Shavuot Tisbor Lach. The Sadducean position, which says that Ktzirat HaOmer and Shavuot can only take place on Sunday, fit better with Mimocharat HaShabbat and Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot in Emor. Both of those positions are going to have to figure out how to put the two parshiot together. So what I want to look at now is, how exactly did each position do that? How did the Pharisees explain Emor? And how did the Sadducees explain Re'eh? Okay? Everybody with me so far? All right, so let's take a look at the two possible explanations offered by Chazal about how these two parshiot fit together. The maybe less well-known possibility is preserved in Midrash Tanaim, and that's the position of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Omer, this is source 6, Katu v'chad Omer shiva shavuot, v'katu v'chad Omer usfartem lachem. Ketzad yitkaimu shnei ketuvim halal, that was the question that we just read. Rabbi Akiva says as follows, Chaliyot min hayamim, at moneh min hayamim, Chaliyot min hashabbatot, at moneh min hashabbatot. So according to Rabbi Akiva, Emor takes place, the parsha of Emor governs a year in which, governs the year on which the 16th of Nisan falls out on a Sunday, and therefore Shavuot will fall out on a Sunday. Mimocharat HaShabbat there, actually, Shabbat there is the first day of Pesach. So therefore, in that year, Ktzirat HaOmer and Shavuot do take place on a Sunday, Mimocharat HaShabbat, and therefore that Parsha governs one set of circumstances. The Parsha in Re'eh, Shiva Shavuot, governs every other possible circumstance. Namely, any year in which Ktzirat HaOmer and Shavuot do not fall out on a Sunday is governed by Re'eh. So you can have both Parshiot obtaining simultaneously. It just depends on the particular year. When Tetvav Nisan falls out on Shabbos, then you're in the world of Emor. That's Memacharat HaShabbat and Shabbatot Tumimot. When Tetvav Nisan falls out on any other day of the week, you're in the world of Re'eh, when we would call the units of counting Shavuot. Okay? That's Rabbi Akiva's position. He's not subordinating one of these two parshiot to the other. He's saying both of them exist simultaneously depending on the particular calendar year. The more famous position is preserved in the Sifra, source 7, which takes Mimacharat HaShabbat not as referring to Sunday, but rather as referring Mimacharat Yom Tov. Meaning, according to Rabbi Akiva, it sounds like Rabbi Akiva does say Mimacharat HaShabbat refers to Sunday. According to the Sifra, Mimacharat HaShabbat does not refer to Sunday. Mimacharat HaShabbat refers to Yom Tov. In which case, what is the Sifra going to do about Shavuot? Sorry, what is the Sifra going to do about Shabbatot? So for that, I want to look at the Targum Onkelos in a second, but let me just take questions. Yeah. So Tisbru Chamishim Yom is the continuation, right? Is that, am I making that up? Meaning, where does he get the idea of Yamim from?
Right. Specifically where it mentions Shavuot as opposed to Shabbatot, but there's no mention of Yamim, so how would you therefore be counting Yamim? So the Akiva is kind of inverted.
Rabbi Akiva is inverted because it's an Emor where you say Tisbru Chamishim Yom.
Right. Or more importantly, in Re'eh,
there's no mention of counting days. Yeah, that's true. Right, I don't know. Right, so that's a good question. I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sure what to do with that. Yeah, I'm not sure what to do with that. Yeah.
I think there's a question about what Shabbos is doing in Parshas Kamot at all. Mm-hmm. I believe the Ramban says something that the reason that it's there is that if Shabbos, if Yom Tov should fall out of Shabbos, the teaching that the Heter of Ochel Nefesh does override Shabbos. So at least according to the Ramban, the whole reason that Shabbos is mentioned at all is for this weird case in which Yom Tov and Shabbos coincide. So maybe there's some kind of connection going on here between the way the Ramban views the whole parsha, at least.
And Rabbi Akiva's position.
And what Rabbi Akiva says.
Right, that's interesting. I'd be curious to go back to the Ramban and see if he makes reference to this. But you're right, there is that similarity between them. Interesting. Okay, the Sifra doesn't tell us how it would understand the word Shabbatot in Emor. All that it tells us is that it understands Mimacharat HaShabbat not as referring to Saturday, but rather as referring to Mimacharat Yom Tov. If you look at the Targum Onkelos, source 8, Targum Onkelos, again, taking the same position as Chazal, and all of the Aramaic Targumim basically also follow Chazal in this regard. The Targum Onkelos on that pasuk in Vayikra says as follows: V'timnon lechon mibatar yom atava. So you're going to count from after Yom Tov. So he's Mimacharat HaShabbat. He translates as not as after Shabbat. He translates it as batar yom atava, just like the Sifra. The key part is what follows: Miyom aiteo chon yat umra de aramuta shva shavuon shaman yahavyan. So he translates Sheva Shabbatot as Shva Shavu'an Shalman, as 7 complete weeks, Shavu'an. So he replaces Shabbatot in Vayikra with the word Shavu'ot from Re'eh, and in that way, what he's basically doing is he's saying all that we mean in Emor by Shabbatot is we just mean weeks. Ignore the language of Shabbatot and just understand that Shabbatot is a synonym for weeks. So therefore, we give primacy to the Parsha in Re'eh, which implies that Shavuot and the Ktzirat HaOmer can fall out on any day. Don't understand, based on Emor, that those days have to fall out on Sunday. Shabbatot doesn't mean Shabbos, Shabbatot simply is a synonym for Shavuot.
So on 7-day period.
Correct. Right. Right. So unlike Rabbi Akiva, what this midrash is doing, Uncle is following the majority position in Chazal, is basically subordinating Emor to Re'e, basically interpreting Emor in light of Re'e. Okay, so that's what Chazal are going to do about how to put those two passages together. What I have from the Midrash Lekach Tov, which is a medieval midrash but preserves earlier midrashim, is the question of, so what exactly is this based on? Mimacharah HaShabbat is referring to not Saturday, but is referring to Yom Tov. So Midrash Lekach Tov gives us a window into what exactly that drasha is about. Shekein matzanu li Yom Tov nikra Shabbaton. Ve'ein hefresh bein Shabbat Shabbaton l'Shabbaton. So Yom Tov throughout the Parsha in Emor is referred to either as Shabbaton or as Shabbat Shabbaton. One thing that this Midrash Lekach Tov, which other Midrashim also point out, is that you also have one of the Chagim there is referred to just as Shabbat. Yom Kippur is referred to as Shabbat. So you have all of the Chagim referred to in Emor, either as Shabbat, except for Pesach, referred to as Shabbat, Shabbaton, or Shabbat Shabbaton. Midrash Lekach Tov says they're all the same. Shene Amar, Vayom Harishon Shabbaton, Uvayom Hashvi'i Shabbaton, Vayomer, Uvayom Hashvi'i Shabbat Shabbaton Mikra Kodesh. So all of the terminology is basically synonymous, and therefore, according to the Midrash Lekach Tov, when in the context of that parsha, when the Torah says Mimacharat HaShabbat, don't read that as Saturday. Read Shabbat there as referring to the more typical way in which that root is used there, namely as a way of talking about a day of rest. So you have the Chagim are all days of rest, and that's all that we mean by Shabbat in that passage. Now, Bernie, that goes back to your question. It's still weird to talk about it as HaShabbat, which might imply going back to the Shabbat at the beginning of that parsha, which is Saturday. But in any case, Midrash Lekach Tov says it's based on the language that you find frequently in that parsha that equates the Chagim with forms of Shabbat. Okay, what exactly are the Sadducees going to do with these two parshiot? We just saw what the Pharisees do with these two parshiot. For the Sadducees, the parsha in Emor is the easier parsha. That's the parsha that suggests Mu'acharat HaShabbat on Sunday and counts Shabbatot Mimot. So what do the Sadducees do about Re'e? So the Temple Scroll, which is one of the Dead Sea Scrolls, which we're going to talk about this in a little bit, Dead Sea Scrolls basically followed the position that we've outlined in the Sadducees. Temple Scroll is a text that rewrites various, especially halachic portions of the Torah and harmonizes them. So the first time that you have a halacha in the Torah, the Temple Scroll will paraphrase that halacha and will also include in that context any other times that that particular halacha appears. So look at the way that it rewrites the halacha of Sfirat HaOmer. So in the context of Emor, it says as follows: Usfartem lachem. You have these weird, you have a lot of hays at the ends. Apparently they were pronouncing in the same way that, let's say, we have in biblical Hebrew. So aten, right, would be feminine singular. You have here, feminine plural. But you also have a few places you have atena. V'atena yidaten ki b'cho kochi avati et avichen. So you can have aten replaced with a hey at the end. Atena, that happens more frequently in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Rather than saying simply usfartem, you have usfartema. Okay. Usfartema lachem miyom azesh shiv'a shavuot, sheva pe'amim tish'avya arba'im yom. So there it's actually simply quoting the pasuk in usfartem lachem is the pasuk in Emor, but it includes within the context of that pasuk Shiva Shavuot. So it borrows the language from Re'e and simply assimilates it into the framework of the pasuk in Emor. Usfartem lachem yom azeh Shiva Shavuot sheva pa'amim tish'av yarba'im yom sheva shabbatot tmimot tiyena. So it simply uses these terms synonymously. So just understand, says the Temple Scroll, that when the pasuk in Emor says Usfartem lachem imacharat haShabbat miyom aviyachem etomer sheva shabbatot mimot tiyena, Shabbatot is just or sorry, Shiva Shavuot in Emor is just a synonym for Shabbatot. You're supposed to be counting sabbatical weeks. When Re'e says count Shavuot, what it really means is it just means count sabbatical weeks. Meaning the temple scroll is doing in the opposite direction what we just saw the Sifra do, which is to subordinate one of the parshiot to the other. The Sifra subordinates Emor to Re'e. The temple scroll subordinates Re'e to Emor. Okay, this is all within the framework of how these two positions fit within the context of the psukim in the Torah. I want to now look at a couple of further questions. On the Pharisaic side, where exactly did this position come from? Is there any prehistory? Did Chazal come along and offer this drasha that takes Mimacharah HaShabbat not as referring to Saturday, but as referring to Motzei Yom Tov? Is this a unique position to Chazal, or is there some prehistory to it? So I want to talk about four earlier sources that span Josephus all the way back to some psukim in Yehoshua, all of which seem to anticipate the position in Chazal. Meaning Chazal's understanding of these psukim has a much longer history to it. So Josephus, writing in the year 94 CE in his work Antiquities of the Jews, he's writing in Greek. Josephus is a Kohen. You know, he says a few times that he aligns himself with the Pharisees, so we might consider Josephus to be a Pharisee. In writing about the halacha of bringing the Omer, he says, on the second day of unleavened bread, which is the 16th day of the month, they first partake of the fruits of the earth. So the pasuk in Emor, which says, V'lechem v'kali v'charmel lo tochlu ad etzem hayom hazeh, only after you bring the Omer can you begin eating chadash, according to Josephus, always takes place on the 16th day, following the position of Chazal. What's interesting is, you could say Josephus is aligned with the Pharisees, but we then have three sources that have nothing to do with the Pharisees. One of which is Philo. Philo is probably writing maybe 70 years or so earlier than Josephus. He's writing in Greek, but he's writing in Alexandria in Egypt. Distant from anything Pharisaic, he too understands the halacha as mandating Sfirat HaOmer, and Shavuot is taking place on the day after Yom Tov, not on Sunday as the Sadducees. Look at what he says. There's also a festival on the day of the Paschal Feast, which succeeds the first day, and this is named the Sheaf. Namely, the Yom Hanafat HaOmer, the day of the Sheaf, is the second day of Pesach, namely the 16th, following the position of Chazal. So we have it in Josephus, we have it earlier in Philo, we have it even earlier in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Torah, which goes back to the 3rd century BCE. So the Mishnah around 200 CE, so now we've traced back the Pharisaic position 400 years to the Septuagint, which translates the Pasuk in Vayikra as follows, "And he shall raise up the sheaf before the Lord, acceptable for you, on the day after the first, the priest shall raise it up." So the pasuk in Vayikra is Mimacharat HaShabbat. Mimacharat HaShabbat is rendered in the Greek translation not as the day after the Shabbat, but rather as on the day after the first. Namely, following the position that ends up in Chazal, but 500 years earlier, in circles that have nothing to do with Chazal. Finally, the earliest source that seems to serve as a witness to Chazal's understanding is actually an interesting set of psukim from Sefer Yehoshua. So here I've set alongside each other the psukim from Yehoshua and the psukim from Vayikra. Psukim from Yehoshua are describing the very first Pesach after Bnei Israel have crossed the Yarden and it's now Pesach. Pasuk Yud from Yehoshua Parakeh, Vayachanu Bnei Yisrael Ba'Gilgal, Vayasu Et HaPesach Bi'Arba'as Ayom LaChodesh Ba'Erev Bi'Arvot Yericho. So they observed Pesach on the 14th. Vayochlu Me'avur Ha'aretz Mimacharat HaPesach Matzot V'Kalui Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. On the day after the Pesach, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes, and parched grains. Vayishpot Haman Mimacharat. That same day, the man ended, and from that very day on, they began to eat the produce of the land. What's critical here is the connection between Pasuk Yud Aleph in Yehoshua Parakeh and Pasuk Yud Dalid in Vayikra Parak Chav Gimel, okay, looking on both sides of that table. In Vayikra, you're not supposed to eat lechem v'kali v'charmel, the bread, the grain, and the fresh ears, ad etzem hayom hazeh, until the day on which you're bringing the Omer, on the 16th. Look at what's happening in Yehoshua. they're eating the matzot and the kalui be'etzem hayom hazeh, namely doing what, according to Vayikra Perek Chaf Gimel, you only do on the day on which you bring the Omer, namely Mimacharat HaShabbat. But look at what language Yehoshua replaces Mimacharat HaShabbat with. Yehoshua replaces Mimacharat HaShabbat with Mimacharat HaPesach. Meaning, what is Yehoshua doing? Sefer Yehoshua is interpreting the psukim from Emor and saying, what does Emor mean when it says Mimacharat HaPesach? Sorry, what does Emor mean when it says Mimacharat HaShabbat? What Emor means is it means Mimacharat HaPesach, the day after the Pesach. And therefore, when Bnei Yisrael first crossed the Yarden and came into the land, they began to eat the lechem, the kali and charmel, Mimacharat HaPesach, which is the day on which they're allowed to do so according to Emor. So this is one of the important examples of it, what's called interbiblical interpretation, Tanakh interpreting Tanakh, in which case what we have is we have Chazal's interpretation all the way back to Tanakh itself, understanding Mimacharat HaShabbat not as referring to Sunday, but rather as to any day of the week following Pesach. That's the way that the Rambam understands those Pesukim in Yehoshua. Take a look at the Rambam in Source 15. So let's just, the context here is, you can read the context a little bit later, let's just focus on the underlined portion at the end. Me'achar she'tala, trying to prove that Chazal's interpretation and not the Sadducean alternative is correct. Me'achar she'tala ha'davar mimacharat ha'pesach, ha'davar barur shemacharat ha'pesach, hi ha'ilah ha'matert et ha'chadash, ve'ein mashkichin al eze yom humimei ha'shavua. Because the pasuk in Yehoshua talks about mimacharat ha'pesach, it must be that what allows you to eat from the Chadash is not Sunday, it's the day following Yom Tov. Meaning he uses the Psukim in Yehoshua as a proof text for Chazal's understanding of Macharat HaShabbat as meaning any day of the week following Pesach, in contrast to the Sadducean position. There's one wrinkle which is worth thinking about, which is, how far does the Pasuk in Yehoshua go toward supporting Chazal's interpretation? What does Macharat HaPesach mean? The question is, does Macharat HaPesach refer to the 15th of Nisan, or does it refer to the 16th of Nisan? Because what you find in the Pasuk in Yehoshua is you only find a reference to Arba Asar. So they ate it in Yud, they bring the Pesach B'Arba Asar Yom. So when the Pasuk says they ate these things, Macharat HaPesach, does that mean that they began eating from the land on the 15th, in which case Macharat HaShabbat is understood in Yehoshua as referring to the 15th, or does Macharat HaShabbat actually refer to the Pesach? So at your leisure, you can look at the Radak, source 17. Radak actually says the Pasuk in Yehoshua is referring to the 15th and is inconsistent with Chazal. So according to the Radak's understanding, Pasuk in Yehoshua supports Chazal in one regard, namely Macharat HaShabbat refers to any day of the week following Yom Tov and not Sunday, but is inconsistent with Chazal in terms of what day it's following. It's following the 14th rather than following the 15th. Okay, you can also take a look. Source 16 says differently. Source 16 suggests that consistent with Chazal, Macharat HaPesach there refers to the 16th. Okay, but Yehoshua certainly in principle supports at least an important part of what Chazal are trying to do. There are also sources that predate the Sadducean position, and with these sets of sources we're going to end. Two sets of sources, Book of Jubilees and one of the Dead Sea Scrolls called Miktzat Ma'aseh HaTorah, subscribe to a solar calendar. The solar calendar for them will begin on a Wednesday. Rosh Hashanah is always going to begin on a Wednesday. That's the day on which the sun was created. Their solar calendar is a 364-day calendar, perfect 52 weeks, so that every holiday is always going to fall out on the same day of the week. So that they will say that Macharat HaShabbat refers to Sunday, like the Beit Husim, but the Sunday that it refers to is Macharat HaShabbat is the Shabbos after Pesach. So it's not the Sunday that takes place during Pesach. The Book of Jubilees and Miktzat Ma'aseh HaTorah say that the Macharat HaShabbat always refers to the 26th of Nisan. The 15th of Nisan is always going to fall out on a Wednesday. Rosh Hashanah Aleph Tishrei is a Wednesday. The 15th of every month is going to be a Wednesday. If you count out when the 26th of Nisan will take place, the 26th of Nisan will take place on a Sunday. According to the Book of Jubilees and Mitzvot Maaseh HaTorah, that's when Ketzirat HaOmer took place, on the 26th of Nisan. Count 49 days, and Shavuot is celebrated on the 15th of Sivan, according to these two sources, which is, in terms of the symmetry, is very nice. All three of the Shalosh Regalim end up taking place on the 15th day of the month. So that the Sadducean position is not unique to that group, even though that's the only group that's referred to in the Mishnah. The Sadducean position is shared by these other sectarian groups, the group known as the group represented by the Book of Jubilees, and the group at Qumran represented by the work here called Miktzat Maaseh HaTorah. The question that these sources raise about the Sadducean position, here we have 2 minutes left, is which Sunday did the Tzdukim say is the day of Ketzirat HaOmer and Shavuot? Is that the Sunday during Pesach, or is it the Sunday after Pesach? Clearly, Jubilees and Miktzat Maaseh HaTorah are unambiguous. We're talking about the Sunday following Pesach. Did the Beit Husim, though, begin their count on Shabbat on the Sunday during Pesach? So here, the question is twofold. First of all, did the Tzdukim adopt a solar calendar like these other texts, or a lunar calendar? Our best evidence is that they seem to have adopted a lunar calendar. And it seems that the Tzdukim disagreed with those other sources and began their count on the Sunday during Pesach. And here, the Tosefta, source 20, you can look at it at your leisure, I'll just summarize it outside, suggests that the Tzdukim began their count during Pesach. And the logic here is as follows. The Tosefta is describing an incident in which one of the Tzdukim tried to sway the Edim, who are coming to be Mekadesh the Chodesh, to lie about the day on which they saw the moon. What that suggests is what the Tzdukim are trying to do is they're trying to have Rosh Chodesh Nisan fall out on a Sunday so that everything is consistent with their position. So that the 16th would fall out on a Sunday. The only way that that would work, the only way that what the Tzdukim are trying to do to shift the Kiddush HaChodesh by one day would be if, in fact, the Tzdukim are beginning their count during Pesach, so that there aren't that many days between when the Pharisees will begin their count and when the Tzdukim will begin their count. If the Tzdukim began their count after Pesach, there would be so many days between when the Pharisees begin their count and when the Tzdukim begin their count, that this sort of scheme that the Beit Husim have concocted according to this Tosefta would not work. Okay, thank you very much. We have to stop here.